Oh, our God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, the Lord has been good, I must say. Praise our God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to begin here with prayer tonight and ask the Lord to have his way. Oh, thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go before the Lord in prayer here. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful privilege that we have to come here, Lord. Oh, God, to meet with you, Lord. To learn of you, God, oh Lord Jesus, oh God, to hear thy word, oh Lord Jesus, to grow in thy grace and in thy knowledge. God, we just thank you, Lord, oh God, we thank you, oh Lord, that your promises are yea and amen, Lord, and that there is nothing too hard for you, Lord Jesus. And oh God, we just thank you, God, for those that are assembled here tonight and those that are online, and oh God, those that will hear this message, Lord. God, I'm asking, Lord, that you would use it. God, I'm asking that you would direct it, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, that you'd prepare our hearts and that you'd talk to us, Lord. And oh God, that the devil, oh God, would be bowed. Oh God, that he would have no way, oh Lord, to influence anything here, Lord, tonight. Oh God, we love you, Lord, and we praise you, Jesus. I ask you for the words. I ask you for the inspiration. Oh God, I ask, oh Lord, that you'd use this message, God. Oh God, that it would please thee, Lord. Oh God, that you'd help us to please you, Lord. That you'd work in our hearts, God. And oh God, that you'd intervene in our lives in such a way, Lord. Oh God, that you would be glorified. Oh, we thank you and we praise you in the precious name of Jesus. Oh, yes, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's been quite an adventure the last few days. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I seem like I was kind of having just some little bit of a cellulitis type of thing showing up on my face again, and I thank the Lord. I believe yesterday the Lord took care of it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is pretty wonderful how God can intervene in our lives. But oh boy, some of the things that we go through, it's really something. But I've got to thank the Lord. He has been good. Yes, amen. He's been very good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have had this message in my heart, and it kind of continues with last week in many ways. And it was so interesting because just recently, I know Brother Tim had mentioned some documentary films that you can find online, and they featured Torben Sandergaard, who began this ministry in Denmark, I believe. And, you know, it's very interesting. He calls his work The Last Reformation, and there's two parts that I know of. One is the beginning and the other is the present. But, you know, I think it's more like a restoration in reality. What seems like it was happening there, it's that, you know, got filled with the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord. And, you know, he began to realize the great need to go out in the streets and preach the gospel and work with people and present the gospel to them. And, you know, he realized that when he went out and prayed for people, that the Lord went with him, and he began to see people miraculously healed. Praise the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And yes, he realized the great need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And praise the Lord, he also realized the great need to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of other tongues. And praise the Lord, he began to do it, and the Lord honored his ministry greatly. And praise the Lord, these films show people that come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yeah, you see them baptized, and sometimes there's a bit of a fight because they actually need some deliverance in some of these cases. But you see that they are filled with the Holy Ghost and they come forth speaking in other tongues. So that's been pretty neat. And you know, the people, once they get to that place, they realize that they too want to go out in the streets and start talking to people and ministering, and they realize that when they do so, that the Lord works with them, confirming his word with signs following. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thought that was pretty inspiring. Amen. But then Saturday, I just happened to be looking in my closet, and I find this little book. And, you know, I think it's been there a long, long time, but I don't believe I've ever opened it up. I certainly had never read it. But anyway, it's so amazing. The name of this book is Ever Increasing Faith. It's by Smith Wigglesworth, and it was written like 100 years ago, practically, 1924. But praise the Lord, I just love the information that's inside, because here he was. He was a believer in the Lord Jesus, and he believed he had been baptized in the Holy Ghost, only he had never spoken in other tongues. And there in the earlier part of the 20th century, it just seems like, you know, there was Azusa Street here in America, and in Europe, it kind of started in some of the European countries, and I would say, you know, some of the people that Smith Wigglesworth became acquainted with were in that movement, praise the Lord. And it is so amazing, because here he was, he thought he had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he was on fire for the Lord in a lot of ways, but he joined a meeting place, and you know, he realized that he didn't have tongues, so anyway, he was going to seek tongues, he figured, and here at this meeting place, and it was in England, it was in Sunderland, and there at this meeting place, you know, he made it known why he came, and he was kind of interfering with them, because every time he would insist that, you know, he wanted tongues, but he was already baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the folks there would say, no, you're not. When you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, you will speak with other tongues. And, you know, he was arguing with them. And, you know, he didn't really want to believe it, but you know what? The Lord got a hold of them. And it's so amazing how the Lord does it. I mean, sometimes there are struggles within, and it comes from an honest heart, and it's just, you know, lack of knowledge. And it's, you know, we all have backgrounds that we all, you know, we can't avoid. I mean, you know, our background is a background. Whatever we've been taught, and you know, sometimes it sticks almost too hard, possibly, but depending what it is. But anyway, you know, the Lord dealt with him, and he was going to be at this place for certain days, and here it was, the very last day that, you know, he was to be there, and he was going to go back home. Well, anyway, you know, he spoke with one of the women there, and he said, oh, please pray with me. He said, this is my last day. Please lay your hands on me that I might receive tongues. Well, anyway, you know, she did lay her hands on him, but then somebody knocked at the door, and she had to go see who was at the door. But he said that was the best thing that could have happened, because it left him alone with God. And praise the Lord began to show him things. It says here in this book, I just read a little bit. It says, she rose up and laid her hands on me, and the fire fell. I said, the fire's falling. Then came a persistent knock at the door, and she had to go out. That was the best thing that could have happened, for I was alone with God. Then he gave me a revelation. Oh, it was wonderful. He showed me an empty cross and Jesus glorified. I do thank God that the cross is empty, that Christ is no more on the cross. It was there that he bore the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And now, there he is in glory. Then I saw that God had purified me. It seemed that God gave me a new vision, and I saw a perfect being within me with a mouth open, saying, clean, clean, clean. When I began to repeat it, I found myself speaking in other tongues. The joy was so great that when I came to utter it, my tongue failed, and I began to worship God in other tongues as the Spirit gave me utterance. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It is quite an amazing story how the Lord began to work in him and how that quest within him was answered. And he began to realize that there is a distinct difference between the infilling of the Holy Ghost or the baptism of the Holy Ghost or receiving the Holy Ghost and the gift of tongues. And, you know, he mentions and he goes into great detail here in this book, but there is often a lot of confusion on this subject. And, you know, I find that here it is 100 years later, and I'd say it's pretty much the same thing. Lots of confusion on this subject. But praise the Lord. We're going to go into some scripture and try to get into this subject. I'm not sure if I'll finish this tonight or how the Lord will work. But praise the Lord. I want us to go away with understanding, and I desperately want to see people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, it is time. We are in the time of the latter rain, and praise the Lord is coming, and I believe it's time for his people, his remnant, to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, I believe it's time that those signs and wonders begin to follow his people like never before. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father. And he did not leave us comfortless, but he came to us, didn't he? Oh, he came to us on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes. As the Holy Ghost fell on those that were assembled there in the upper room. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go into Isaiah 30 here. I woke up with this scripture on my mind here this morning. So I'm going to go here right now. Isaiah chapter 30. And the verse I'm going to be reading is verse 15 here in Isaiah chapter 30. It says, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. I think it's just a really interesting verse here. You know, he points out, and this is, you know, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. This is God speaking to his people through his prophet. And he declares, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. And interesting here, you know, returning, I believe, means coming to the Lord, turning to him with all our hearts, repenting and giving our lives to the Lord. And then he says, rest. In returning and rest shall he be saved. And I believe the scripture clearly verifies that the rest is the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So yes, this is what is brought out in this verse. In returning and rest shall ye be saved. Then it says, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. I believe our walk with the Lord, in walking with him, that we truly need to give everything over to the Lord and lean on him. It's not by our own works. It's learning to give our lives over to the Lord Jesus, to submit our lives over to God. And you know, I know in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and this is a very interesting chapter. We could have quite a Bible study, and Brother Samuel went over some of these things very recently. But that fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews talks about the rest. Let's just read a portion of it here. It says in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 4, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." And this reference in verse 2 goes back to the third chapter, where he is talking about those that were in the wilderness who fell because of their evil heart of unbelief. And when it came to entering into the promised land, they would not. They all, as we've talked about it many times, the Kadesh Barnea incident, where, you know, the spies had been sent into the land, and Moses had sent them in, and only two of the 12 spies could see the need to go with haste into the land and to take it over. But we know the other 10 were so full of unbelief that they persuaded the others likewise that, you know, it was not wise to pursue it. It was indeed a very, very good land, but, you know, there were giants there, and, you know, they didn't see how they could overcome the giants. So it's happened, the sad end there, that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter into Canaan land, that older generation, just the younger ones, whom they feared would not be capable, were the ones that did enter in. And of course, we know the 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness. So anyway, it tells us again, that second verse, that the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And, you know, when they got into Canaan land, that was to be a type of rest for them. They were to go into Canaan land, and of course Joshua was the one that would lead them. You know, they were to overtake the enemies that lived there and conquer them, and then to have rest from their enemies. And of course, we know that the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, there's parallels, but the Old Covenant is in the physical sense, whereas the Second Covenant, the New Covenant, pertains to the spiritual. And Jesus is coming, he came to bring forth his spiritual kingdom. Praise the Lord, and that's what the New Covenant is all about. So that was the plan. If they go into that land and, you know, eradicate the enemy, and they'd be free from that sort of thing. They wouldn't have to fight anymore. They would just serve the Lord and be faithful to him. All would be well. But, you know, it didn't really happen that way. It says, "For we which have believed," in verse 3 here, "do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works." And you know, it all relates. The seventh day represented the rest that would follow. Hopefully, you know, if they would have entered, well, they did enter in and have a semi sort of rest in a way, but it was never completed. It was, you know, there were a lot of problems. You know, it was not a complete rest by any means. But the Lord Jesus knew all along that, you know, he was going to bring forth a rest. God in his plan had provided that Jesus would come into this world and provide a rest for his people. Praise the Lord. So here it says, for he spake at a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. And here in verse 6 it says, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time as it is said, today if you will hear my voice or hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? And it says in verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And I believe verse 10 is very descriptive. It says, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. And this is interesting, you know, as we think, you know, our strength needs to be in God. And, you know, God has ordained that when we come to the Lord and he gives us rest, that we cease from our own works. In other words, we give our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. We put on Christ. We're baptized him in the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rising to walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord. But that baptism, it represents how we cease from our old works, our old man. We put sin down, in other words. We stomp on it, you know. And it represents, as we rise up out of the water, that we now are walking in the new way. And God is the one that is directing our lives. God is the one that is orchestrating our affairs. So in that sense, if we enter into the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cease, we stop from our own works as God did from his. Just as that seventh day at the beginning, at the creation, God ceased from his works. It was finished, it was complete, so it was over. But that would represent the rest that he would give his people when, you know, our own works are finished. We don't have to work in them. We need to give it over to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him work in our lives. Praise the Lord. It says, for he that is entered into his rest, verse 10 again, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. It says in verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of an unbelief. Oh, see, so he's trying to encourage us strongly here, the need to labor, to make sure that we have gotten to that place where we have entered into that rest here, lest that we would fall. It's unbelief that keeps people away. It's unbelief that distracts people and hinders people and causes them to fall. Just like the children of Israel fell in the wilderness. We are admonished here to labor, therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. I think it's so interesting there, that verse I read there from Isaiah 30. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning at rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And he would not. Oh, that resistance that people have to the works of God, and that resistance to giving things over to the Lord. You know, our confidence needs to be in the Lord. He guides us, he directs us, he leads us, if we'll just let him. If we'll just let him work in our lives in that way. And also, of course, if we turn over to Isaiah 28, and we were here last week, but let's just go over it just slightly here for a moment. because I believe this also goes along with Hebrews, the fourth chapter. It says in verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. And then this declaration in verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Then it says, yet they would not hear. You know, again, you just note again and again that resistance to the rest that Jesus Christ offers. And of course, when Jesus walked this earth, he was declaring that rest that he had for the people of God, for those that would follow him. Matthew, that 11th chapter, how it says in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Praise the Lord. The Lord had a rest for his people. Oh, in the time of the law, you know, they had a Sabbath that was a type of rest, where they would rest on that seventh day. And again, that exemplified that which was to follow, the rest that Jesus Christ was going to give when we rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, yes, we have come to him. And we have allowed him to give him that rest that he has for his people. Oh, yes, you know, the way the transgressor is hard, the scripture tells us. But he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, if we will just follow after the Lord and let him orchestrate our lives. And oh, you know, take some of the stress out of our thinking and, you know, all the straining we do sometimes to try to, you know, seek the answers or figure things out. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for inside of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Praise the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. I believe this regathering that he's talking about is that gathering, that regathering, you could say, that took place on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, when the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ came. Oh, it came forth to dwell in the hearts of those that would receive it. Oh, yes, they would come to the Lord Jesus. Oh, to receive that rest that he had reserved for the people of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And now, as I'm going to turn to Acts, the second chapter, there's an aspect that I want you to notice here, these first four verses here in chapter 2 of the book of Acts. And it tells us here in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I just want to point out a detail here in this third verse. Those tongues that appeared upon them were cloven. That means that they were split. And, you know, there's a reference to this also in the Psalms. Psalms chapter 29. We want to go there for the reading of this verse. It's a short verse here. Psalms 29, verse 7. It says, "The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire." I believe that was prophesying of the day of Pentecost when those cloven tongues appeared upon those that were gathered there in the upper room that sat upon each of them, you know, and it was cloven. In other words, they were split tongues. And I believe that denotes that there were going to be two aspects, you could say, of the gift of the Holy Ghost. The first would be the manifestation that one is filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the second one would be the gift of tongues that the Lord would bring forth to minister to his people. And wow, I'm not sure just how far we're going to get into all of this tonight, but oh, it's all so glorious when we begin to uncover the mighty works of God in so many ways. But those tongues were split. And, you know, there's nothing that's incidental, you know, or just coincidental in the Scripture. I believe the Lord always had a purpose for the things that followed, the things that he did, and the manifestations that he brought forth. So, praise the Lord, those tongues were cloven, it tells us, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And of course, that fourth verse clearly tells us, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord, that unruly member, that old tongue of ours. Oh yes, the Lord began to minister through their tongues, and they began to speak forth the wonderful works of God. And of course, there were a lot of people there that were gathered together there on this feast time of Pentecost. Praise the Lord. You know, it tells us there, it was quite a marvel. Oh, they were amazed and they were marveling. Because, oh yes, when all this was noise abroad, oh, this was just not a quiet assembly, I don't believe. I believe as they began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them evidence, you know. Yeah, I believe, you know, I believe it was loud. It could be heard, and it began to be spread. It says, "Now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." And of course, how could it be? You know, these were Galileans who were, you know, there assembled. But yet, those that were witnessing this could hear them all speaking in their own native tongues, wherein they were born. And you know what names, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea, Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, they were amazed. And of course, you know, there's some that are doubters. It says they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this? This had never happened before. This was something that was truly new." Of course, you've got the mockers in the midst of this. Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." In other words, this is Looney Tunes. You know, how could this be? Oh my, but it was way too marvelous to be, oh, he's something that would come by because one was drunken. course, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing this is but the third hour of the day." And I think this also makes everything so concrete here. He quotes from Joel, the second chapter, and he says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Praise the Lord. This is what happened. God was now fulfilling this prophetic utterance. He was now pouring out of his spirit upon all flesh. Praise the Lord. It had happened. And yes, it's very clear. I want to mention that God also had ordained by the mouth of two or three witnesses that every word shall be established. And Jesus had declared that in Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 16. And of course, it was established in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17, verse 6, and chapter 18, verse 15 in the book of Deuteronomy. So anyway, I think it's interesting. Here in chapter 2, we know when they received the Holy Ghost, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, when God poured out of his spirit, that they spake with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we have this very clear witness. We go to the 10th chapter of Acts, and we did this last week, so I'm not going to read a great deal. But we know that when Peter was sent to those at Corinth there, those Gentile folks, household of Cornelius, and those that were assembled there together, we know that while Peter was yet speaking to these people that had gathered there, that the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And it tells us in verse 45 of this 10th chapter of Acts, "And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." And then it goes on to just, you know, make it very concrete here. "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, just as it was on the day of Pentecost." And so then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. But here we see in this 10th chapter of Acts that we have a second verification here that the Holy Ghost was evidenced with the speaking of other tongues. It's just very clear that's how they knew that the Holy Ghost had fallen upon these Gentiles. And we know that Peter and those that came with him, who were Jews, were amazed, just marveling at this, astonished, because they didn't really expect it, I don't believe. But oh yes, the Lord was teaching, you know. He was going to pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. Praise the Lord, it wasn't going to be reserved for just one race of people, or one gender, or one, you know, status of people. It would be for all those that would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, all those that the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord. But here we have, yes, that second very clear witness that the Holy Ghost was evidenced by the speaking forth in other tongues. of course, the 19th chapter of Acts, and we went here last week too, so I'm not going to elaborate very much, I don't think, you know, but we know there when Paul, he was passing through the upper coast, he came to Ephesus, he found certain disciples, and he asked them right away, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" And, you know, they replied, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Paul went on to explain, verse 4, "Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." And I love their response. You know, they had not yet heard, but, you know, they had hearts that were hungry and searching and ready to be filled. And so when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I don't believe there was any hesitation. They just heard the word of God and they followed through. They believed it and they did it. And so, after they were baptized, it tells us in verse 6, "And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." Praise the Lord. And all the men were about 12. Praise the Lord. But here, this 19th chapter of the book of Acts, I believe we have another witness that, oh yes, the receiving of the gift of the Holy Ghost was with tongues that would come forth, that would be the evidence and the witness that, yes, indeed, they had been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And not only did they speak with tongues, it declares that they prophesied here in this situation. But praise the Lord, we have these examples. Oh, yes, that the Lord has given us to help us to realize that, oh yes, that, you know, there's two arms here, that we cannot, you know, say that we are truly filled with the Holy Ghost if we have not yet spoken forth in other tongues. Praise the Lord. And I think it was so amazing, this Smith Wigglesworth, you know, he was so persuaded in his heart, you know, that he was filled with the Spirit. He just could hardly grasp it. But yet, oh yes, when he came to the realization, when, oh yes, God, it is mercy, filled him with the Holy Ghost indeed, and he began to speak forth in other tongues. Oh, and he began to see what they were talking about, those that had received it before him. Yes, that, you know, indeed, that there was more to it than he had thought. And oh, how it opened up a new way of life within him. Oh yes, oh yes, when the Holy Ghost is indeed within us, it gives us a strength that we could not have. It, you know, makes us that witness. It gives us, oh yes, a witness that is beyond, you know, anything that we could ever have without it. And, you know, the other works that follow, that, you know, because, yes, we have therefore received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. But I do want to speak about the gifts of the Spirit here, too, because as Brother Wigglesworth does mention, that very often people don't understand the difference between receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost and the gift of tongues that follows with the gifts of the Spirit particularly. So if we go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, I'd like to read here a portion of Scripture here as Paul deals with spiritual gifts particularly here. It says in verse 1, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And, you know, I believe that is in reference to some of the statements that Jesus Christ himself made. And I'm just going to go to the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew here. Read just a short portion here. It says in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 25, At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. And he goes on to say in verse 27, All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Praise the Lord. There's a very similar passage in Luke, the 10th chapter. But praise the Lord, I believe Jesus was indicating here, as you know, he was declaring this, that there is a need that it would be revealed to us. You know, if the revelation of who Jesus is, that realization that he is indeed the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, all those things, it comes by the Spirit of the living God who reveals that truth to us. And what a wonderful thing it is when, you know, that veil that is over so many eyes is taken off so that one can see and understand that Jesus Christ was not just a man. Oh, yes, he was robed in flesh. But oh, yes, he was God come down from heaven. Oh, yes, as a man, to save us, born as a man, really come to this world, you know, to be brought forth in human flesh. Oh, yes, to reveal himself and to bring forth his plan of eternal salvation unto fallen man. Praise the Lord. So praise the Lord, it's by revelation. No man, that a man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost, as it tells us here in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it's by revelation. Now he gets into it, the gifts of the Spirit here. In verse 4 he says, Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And by diversities, he means that there are differences of gifts, that, you know, God had promised that he was going to bestow his gifts upon his people. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 8, it tells us, Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. So praise the Lord. It's not that in this case, now what is being spoken of in this 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians, there's going to be a diversity of gifts. But it's all by the same Spirit, the Spirit of God. And then it says, and there are differences of administration. Oh yes, the way that they are used. But it says again, but the same Lord. It's, you know, God, you know, bringing it forth, you know, in various means as far as these various gifts are and administered in various different ways, but it's the same Lord and you know, does it. And then it says in verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Praise the Lord. So he's going to work it in different ways. And then he begins to, you know, he's going to differentiate a little bit here. But first of all, he says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Praise the Lord. And again, there's that initial manifestation that is given to us when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, those tongues that come upon us as the Holy Ghost comes to dwell in our being, as it did on the day of Pentecost. Yes, as it did there in the household of Cornelius. And yes, as it did there to those 12 that were gathered there in Ephesus. And of course, you know, there's those other examples. I believe this is widespread in the early church. This was the manifestation that followed when they received the Holy Ghost. It wasn't always mentioned in the scripture specifically, but this is what happened. And here it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. He gives us the Spirit, and yes, there's going to be benefits that come from it. And, you know, as individuals, oh, that wonderful declaration that he's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. You know, and it wasn't, you know, going to be, you know, reserved for a special class of people or anything like that. It was for whosoever will come to the water and drink. Praise the Lord, whosoever would taste of that living water and receive of it. So now he's going to list the various gifts of the Spirit here. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Praise the Lord. These are all aspects of the Spirit of God. These are all manifestations that come forth once you are filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, the initial infilling of the Holy Ghost. And you know, I like how it says it's divided to every man severally as he will. I believe that refers to the needs that we have. As you know, there is a need. We're working with people and you know, there's a need for discerning of spirits. That the Lord gives it forth. If there's a need for diverse kinds of tongues, and you know, it's beautiful when this happens in the church. You know, it doesn't happen nearly enough, but praise the Lord. Oh, yes, there are those occasions when someone speaks forth in tongues. And praise the Lord, he deals more with this in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But then, yes, it's not going to edify the body of Christ unless it is interpreted. So praise the Lord, they work hand in hand. So if the Lord chooses to speak forth in this manner, he will give one of the individuals in the congregation that ability to speak forth a message in tongues. Praise the Lord. And very hopefully there'll be another individual, or sometimes I have heard it done where the same individual also interpreted tongues. I know Pastor Meyer used to very often interpret messages in tongues. Praise the Lord. But, you know, the Lord uses this to specifically bring forth a message that would never get to us otherwise. So you can see that these are all different abilities that the Lord brings forth when there is a need in particular. You know, if there's a matter that's at hand and you know, you need divine wisdom, the Lord knows how to bring forth that kind of inspiration, that wisdom that comes from above. Yes, to make the matter known and to declare, to make it clear and to reveal the answer. God knows how to do it. Or if there's a need for the gift of faith. Oh, there's a healing that needs to take place. You know, Lord knows how to bring forth that gift of healing. So yes, these works can come forth. These works can be done. And praise the Lord, we need the operation of the Spirit of God to be working. We are told to pray for the best gifts. And you know, there is a need. There is a need because if pieces are missing, then there's parts of the ministry that is not complete in that sense. But the Lord uses these various operations of the Holy Ghost to fulfill His plan and His purpose, to bring forth certain answers that need to come forth. And praise the Lord, you know, obviously when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to have faith. It's right, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, so, you know, it's impossible to come to the Lord Jesus without faith. But here is talking about a specific gift of faith that is a work of the Holy Ghost that God uses specifically to bring forth wonders, things that need to come forth by this kind of manifestation. Praise the Lord. So, you know, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit specifically. And of course, he mentions also the working of miracles, all these different aspects that are needed in the body of Christ. To another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So praise the Lord, he is talking about all the various possibilities that do need to come forth in the body of Christ. And again, that 11th verse, but all these worketh that one and that self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And that's telling us that, you know, it might not be that the Lord would just give you one gift. It's not, you know, there's no, you know, minimal type of thing like that. You know, it says severally. I believe as the need comes forth that, yes, the Lord provides these gifts so that they can be in operation and the works of God can come forth as they need to. And he explains in verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost that the Lord is giving away is for all of God's people. And praise the Lord, the body of Christ, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, it's given to all of us that we might participate and drink into one Spirit. Praise the Lord. We might all drink of the living water that Jesus declared there in that 7th chapter of the book of John. Oh, praise the Lord. Just, oh yes, to go through that a minute here. John 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Praise the Lord. But then he clarifies it here in verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Oh, it could not yet be sent to the believers until Jesus had been received back into heaven. because what is the Holy Ghost? Oh, yes, that word ghost. Oh, it indicates that, oh, yes, it's the spirit of a departed one. The Holy Ghost is a spirit that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And how I love how he declared that he would not leave us comfortless, but he would come unto us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, he was going to fill us with those living waters. Oh, yes, so that our cup could be full, so we could taste of things that are heavenly. Oh, yes, participate in the heavenly manna. Oh, yes, to know a joy that comes by being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, I love how Jesus had declared in that 14th chapter of John, when he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Praise the Lord. That's what the Holy Ghost was. It was the Spirit of a living God, the Spirit that dwelt in Jesus Christ, that comes to dwell in our very being. Oh, yes, so that we can do the very works that Jesus Christ did, so we can be participants in his kingdom, so we can be a light in this world, we can be a witness. "Oh, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you," Jesus declared, "and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Praise the Lord. He was going to put his spirit within his people, so yes, we could continue the work that he began, so we could be part of the body of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, that we could be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. It's such a wonder. You know, yet, you know, all the skepticism, all the doubts, and all, you know, all those that, you know, would even deny it. But praise the Lord, when you have truly received of the gift of the Holy Ghost, oh, yes, you know, just as Brother Wigglesworth knew, oh, yes, when he received the Holy Ghost, all that questioning and, oh, you know, all that reasoning just left at that point, because, oh, he knew that he had received the true manifestation of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. What a wonder it was as God took his tongue and began to, oh, yes, work through that tongue so that he could speak forth in many languages. And, oh, yes, be truly filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But praise the Lord, I know he wrote in his book when he came home, his little boy asked him, "Daddy, did you speak with other tongues?" And he said, "Yes, I did." And then his little boy said, "Well, speak in other tongues for me, Daddy." And, you know, he mentions at that time, He couldn't, because he realized later, and it was several months until the next moment when he spoke in other tongues, and when the Lord gave him the gift of tongues. But he realized that, you know, when the Spirit of God comes to dwell in you and brings forth the initial tongues, that, you know, it's different than when it's the gift of tongues, and you might not spontaneously speak forth for a length of time. I believe, you know, there's a great need to be renewed. I know as a little girl, when he filled me with the Holy Ghost, I remember that the devil would try to bring a whole bunch of doubts into my mind and tell me, you know, "Hey, you really didn't do that, you know." And, you know, what I would do, how I would respond is I just pray again and ask the Lord to refill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord would do it. Praise the Lord. So I'd be reassured in my heart. But, you know, at that point when he came home, he couldn't just, you know, automatically speak in other tongues. And we don't want to do that because unless the Lord is prompting it. But praise the Lord, when he gives us the gift of tongues, it becomes a wonderful tool, even beyond the initial experience, where we can do things that we perhaps never dreamed that we were going to do or be able to do. I know there's a lot of examples, but I particularly was thinking today of what in my own life, and I don't know, Sister Dawn, if you're listening here tonight, but we had quite an experience several years ago. I know Dawn had called me and was very concerned because her mother, who was well up in age, was dying. They all said she was dying, you know? And Dawn wanted me to pray with her mother. And, you know, it was, you know, yeah, a very worthy request. So I did call and pray with her mother. But, you know, it didn't seem like as I was praying with her that anything much was happening. I really couldn't sense that, you know, any great change was happening to her mother. And so after I hung off the phone and got off the phone, I just went down on my knees and began to pray, and I prayed in tongues. And I don't know, it wasn't a real long length of time. I'm sure it was 10, 15 minutes perhaps. But Dawn called again, and she said, "Mother is ready now. Could you pray with her again?" And it was such a marvel after I had spent that time praying in tongues, how different Miriam was at that point. You know, it was night and day. All at once, I knew the Lord had dealt with her heart. And, oh my, I could hear her just, you know, saying, "Oh yes, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, be with me. Help me, Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart." And, oh my, there was such a difference. You know, she was crying with all her heart unto the Lord, and it was such a marvel. It was really something. But I didn't really fully realize the impact of it until a little later, because in spite of the fact that they had said that Dawn's mother was dying, she didn't die. And oh my, it might have been 2-3 months later, I know. Dawn explained to me. Her mother had mentioned when she became well again. And she said, "Back in that time when I was so sick," she said, "I can't remember anything except that Shirley prayed with me. And I could see her. I could see her face. I can't remember anything else, but you know, something happened, and you know, I could see Shirley," and we had never met at that point. All I could know is the Lord did an amazing work. I had said to Dawn, you know, when we had talked before I had spoken to her mother the first time, that, "Oh, I wish I was there." But it was like the Lord just kind of took me there. And her mother had this vision, it seems, where all, you know, she could see was my face. And believe me, you know, this is supernatural. This is the work of God. And all I know is just a tremendous difference, how God intervened in that situation. You know, how she lived and she didn't die. And you know how God used this. And you know, a couple years after this, I know Brother Tim and I were able to go there and baptize her in the name of the Lord Jesus. Before she passed, she lived to be a good old age. Yeah, I know she was in her 90s. But praise the Lord. You know, I just, you know, saw such a tremendous difference. After that time, I prayed forth in tongues and whatever the Lord did, you know, in that interim, it was a marvel. It was, you know, truly the work of God. I know Brother Wigglesworth, in his book, he talks about a missionary. His name was Willie Burton, and he was in Africa. He was in the Congo area, and he was desperately sick. He had a fever, and they all thought he was dying. And what happened, all at once, instead of dying, he just stood on his feet, and he was well. And, you know, nobody could truly grasp what had happened. But some time later, he was in London, and a woman asked if she could speak to him. And, you know, she revealed that at a certain time, she had a diary that she had kept. And he also had a diary, this Brother Burton, that he had kept the time of this amazing healing. And at that time, when he amazingly arose from that death grip, this woman had been praying forth in tongues. The Lord had put this man on her heart. And she even could see him in a vision-like form. And she began to intercede and pray in other tongues. And the Lord did this miracle. Praise the Lord. He was completely healed. Oh, praise the Lord, and restored to the people. But praise the Lord, this is just a little bit. Oh, yes, which can follow. And oh, yes, the Lord uses us through the gift of tongues. Praise the Lord. And there's a lot more that needs to be said. But praise the Lord. I just hope this gives us a little taste of things that need to follow. Oh, yes, we could do exploits in the name of the Lord Jesus. All these gifts of the Spirit that He has given us, they're for a purpose. They're for a plan. Oh, yes, they're to be used. They're to be in the church. Oh, yes, there's a reason for them. And oh, yes, how the Lord would have us to seek, first of all, to be initially filled with the Holy Ghost baptism, praise the Lord. And then, yes, to seek these gifts that He has reserved for the people of God, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. But praise the Lord, yes, the Lord has brought this forth. Oh, yes, as He sent the Holy Ghost, oh yes, so that we could walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, so we could be led by the Spirit of the living God, so that we could be alive in the Lord Jesus and do the works that He has done. Praise the Lord, He has provided all the wonderful gifts of the Spirit for His body, for His church, His people, and praise the Lord. Oh, the same works that followed that early church can follow us today. Praise the Lord, if we will, yes, reach out and receive the promises that God has reserved for His people. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, I believe. Oh, yes, there has to be a witness in this world. Oh, yes, before the coming of the Lord, I just believe, yes, the Lord is going to make Himself known somehow. Oh, yes, not that, you know, thousands and millions will follow, but I believe the Lord is going to raise up His people. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, He's going to work in us if we will give our lives over to Him. Oh, yes, if we'll let the things of this world go. And oh, yes, if we'll be willing to lift Him up. Oh, okay. Yes, oh, yes. Oh, yes, to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, our God is so good. Lord, praise the Lord. I pray, oh, that we will reach out and receive this which the Lord has desired so strongly to give us. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, because, yes, it is His promise that we should receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord, that need to repent and to be baptized, every one of us, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Oh, we are so blessed. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I pray that you would talk to us, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you'd move in us. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that the doubts, the fears, and all the questioning, all the skepticism would cease in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, and that you would work in us. Oh God, that you would dwell in us, that you'd send forth your Spirit, Lord, in a mighty way. Oh God, and that those signs and wonders would come forth and follow us. Oh Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask and beseech thee, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we need you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It's for those that will hunger and thirst after righteousness. Forget about all your reservations and all your fears and all your doubts and all these other things. Praise the Lord and let the Lord do His work. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our hymnals to number 253 and sing His Yoke is Easy, number 253.
Yeah.
Dismissed under prayer in Jesus' name.